Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, voter suppression. There was a time when blacks couldn't vote. The question is, does the black vote count, or is the script already written by the gods of this world Somebody seems to value the black and minority vote and is going through extreme efforts to suppress their vote. I have heard some people say that they don't vote because their vote doesn't count. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen whether they vote or not, no matter who they vote for. But if your vote doesn't count, why have Republicans of today and Democrats of the old South been so set on creating barriers to people observing their constitutional right to vote? In the Old South, after the Civil War, those barriers specifically target blacks recently freed from chattel slavery. If the black or minority vote is so insignificant, it doesn't count for nothing, why the significant effort to deny them the opportunity to cast their insignificant ballot till this day? This has been going on since the 1800s. You know, these guys have been suppressing the black or the minority of vote. But if it's insignificant, what's all the hoopla all about? If history is correct, blacks were elected to office in the South during the Reconstruction. That's the period after the, you know, the Civil War, had the Reconstruction. Okay, we're going to rebuild this thing. Blase set, you know, certain rules and laws and stuff like that. Anyway, Mississippi sent two black senators to Washington and some black statesmen. Mississippi in the 1800s was and still is a cold stop for a black man. But after Reconstruction, they were able to send two blacks. I'm surprised they were even able to do that. I'm surprised them guys even made it to Washington. Mississippi made number one of the top 10 racist cities in the USA. Pennsylvania was rated the 18th. All races state, I mean. Anyway, back to history, literally the history. They said that during Reconstruction, some 2,000 African Americans held public office from the local level all the way up to the U.S. Senate, though they never achieved representation in government proportionate to their numbers. That means if it's 100 people and the population is 100, 10 black, then we got 10% black representation in the government. So it never had that. But, I mean, 2,000 Americans coming from chattel slavery, torture, murder, rape, that's amazing to use that word. Now, that's amazing. That's a word you use amazing for. That's something you use to describe as being amazing. Anyway, so I guess, again, just thinking, if the USA is supposed to be a melting pot, why the discriminatory practices against our minorities? We in this together or not? To be represented proportionally in some southern states require about 12% of the political machine to consist of black folk. In some southern states, that percent would have been much greater because the slave population was greater, thus having more black votes voting black candidates in the office. This is from PolitiFact. They said the 1816 census counted 31,443,321 people, which 3,953,703 160 were slaves. So the slaves counted for 12% of the national population. Excuse me. That's weird. That's eerie. Because right now, I think we account for 12 or 13% of the population today. And that's like, what, zero population growth or something like that? That can't be right. Anyway, how can we be 12.6% of the population in 1880 and 12 or 13% of the population in 2019? That's a hell of a mortality rate. I guess that's another show. I need an expert to explain that. Or just a historian to say, yeah, that stuff is jacked up. Those numbers are not correct. Or I'm just not understanding what I'm eating. Brainly.com says, the 14 states, and they are, I'm going to name them, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Kentucky, Virginia, Maryland, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri. These were the areas where the slave population were more than 30% in 1860. So that might account for how Mississippi was able to get those, you know, brothers, you know, plus the fact that they had soldiers from the north enforcing the legislation down there for these guys to be able to do that. So they had a little help. It's not just about, because as you know, Medgar Evers was murdered because he wanted to exercise his right to vote, and that's in the 1900s. So that's about 1950-something, I think, he was killed. So, anyway. They say before the Civil War began, African Americans had only been able to vote in a few northern states. Because for you guys that think that they fought that big war because they don't want those poor black people being slaves, and that they love black people, and that's why they're fighting. I don't think you should. You need to read again. You can read any history book and not get that the North loved black people. So Abraham Lincoln himself said to save the Union. So if I'm trying to prevent you from leaving me and you trying to get away in a car, if I take the gas out of the car, you can't go nowhere. So the slaves were equivalent to the gas for the South. That was the backbone of the economy. So you let the air out of the bag, out of the balloon cannot float. So that's basically what that's all about. Anyway, not to go into, you know, all of that. So let's say months after the Union victory, the war was over. 1865 saw extensive mobilization within the black community with meetings, parades, and petitions calling for legal and political rights. Now, I'm just going to repeat that. Because that's very, very important to any community. Extensive, that means a lot, right? Mobilization, movement toward, right? A goal within the black community. That means they united towards a common goal, right? They were outward with their expression. And they had parades, right? You can't get more outward than that. Petitions made the legal system aware, right? Hey, we get together. We've been meeting and thinking, and check this out, right? Calling for legal and political rights, right? During the first 2 years of Reconstruction, they said blacks organized equal rights leagues throughout the South. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the South, and I don't think it's changed in some places, attitudes don't change that easily when you have it embedded for hundreds of years, part of your culture. But anyway, But in the South, you can get strung up pretty fast. And don't get it twisted that you can't, that can't happen to you in New York State or Pennsylvania or any place like that. All right? Because all it takes is a certain attitude. Anyway, they blacks organized. Blacks organized. Message, equal rights leads throughout the South that held state and local conventions to protest discriminatory treatment. And, you know, against the suffering and torture that blacks were experiencing. And they were experiencing a lot of suffering and torture. Did you know that in 1967, almost a century after Hiram Rebels and Blanche Bruce served in the U.S. Senate during the Reconstruction, Edward Brooke of Massachusetts became the first African-American senator elected by popular vote. Now, some people might say, well, so what? Right? Because what did he do for his brothers? And that's a good question. But that's another show, because just the fact that he got there was through the struggle, right? And when you get there, it's not enough to vote a black man in office or a white man in office or anybody, in Latino, Asian man in office. They have to be there for a purpose. And that purpose is to represent, you know, number one, justice. You know, so, and that means justice by every man. So if you're representing that by every man, then you're going to respect, you know, every man. But apparently that's not what happens, as you can see, through government all the time in this country. So, you know, we blacks would have never been slaves if that was the case. We would have never had all this Jim Crow, all this voter suppression, which we apparently have now, which I'm going to get to, which is amazing that these guys are able to run around and do this. And there's nobody trying to stop them. Or I don't see anybody trying to stop them. I mean, that they even had, that they were able to do it, or able to do it, is a serious problem. You know, and I mean, you can keep in the back of your mind, okay, I vote, they're going to do what they want to do, Democrat, Republican. That's just, those are two different types of animals, but they both bite. I understand that. But those are the animals that are making the decisions about who gets what piece of cake, which crumbs, any crumbs at all. So I don't know. So where would you rather be at on Thanksgiving Day? At the dinner table when they carve the turkey, or somewhere in the basement hoping that they throw you a piece of bread down there? Where would you rather be? I don't know. I know I'd rather be sitting at that table. Not for myself, so that I can get a piece of a chicken leg, a leg and a thigh, a breast or something, take it to my peoples. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm there for. I'm not there for myself. I'm there for my peoples, the people that I'm there to represent, my state, my people. So my people not being treated right through government. Government's supposed to treat my people right. You're supposed to be fighting for that. There's nothing wrong with that as a black person, fighting for the rights of other black people in government. If you're afraid, you shouldn't be there. You're afraid that somebody's going to, you know, open up the back of your head or something like that, time for you to leave government. Because guess what? That happens. Megan Edwards, Martin Luther King, all were murdered. Hey, JFK, murdered on television. No matter what the reason is, whatever it is was between him and the people that murdered him, he died because of it. So many people died. Fred Hampton, you understand? It happens. We don't want to die, but sometimes that is a result of standing up for justice, for trying to do the right thing against people who are intent on doing the wrong thing, right? It happens. So they said Republican victory in the U.S. congressional elections of 1866. And to a new phase of Reconstruction that would give African Americans a more active role in the political, economic, and social life of the South. And now, that's assuming they won't be hanging off these trees anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's what that sounds like. You know, you could, or you don't have to walk off the curb. You see a white man, you know, you don't have, but you know, y'all know that didn't happen, right? Because we know history and we know what happened in the South, okay? But I mean, still, somebody put this thing in motion to get blacks involved into the political, economic, and social life of the South. Because you got to know people to make moves and things like that. But you know, the Africans and the descendants of the Africans were very resourceful. I think that if you just left them alone, they would probably do pretty well, you know. But if you keep trying to impede their growth, that's when the problem comes in. And that's when the problem did come in. Anyway, they talk about a radical change that took place, a radical reconstruction of 1867 to 77. And Congress granted African American men the status of right of citizenship, including the right to vote. Uh-oh. Problem. Well, here go. These are white folks doing this. Guaranteed by the 14th and 15th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. So, branches of the Union League, which encouraged the political activism of African Americans, spread throughout the South. This is the South, y'all. This is the South, and I'm not saying to say the North you can't get lynched or murdered here, because many have been, but the South. This is the South. This is where people are moving, uniting together. So the brothers down South was at it. And Martin Luther King was from down South. MLK, Mecca Evers, down South. Because they had a serious situation down there. Not that they didn't have it up here, because it was just as bad. You go in certain neighborhoods, you could lose your life. We know that. So during the state constitutional conventions held in 1867, this is right after the Civil War, to 69, blacks, 1867 to 1869, blacks and white Americans stood side by side for the first time in political life. That's an accomplishment for a man coming out of slavery and under a condition where you're not supposed to look another man in the eye and all that stuff, being whipped and being strung up on a tree if they wanted to really basically do that to you. But you know, it's not enough just to feel that that's an accomplishment to be in government and stand next to a white man, because that's kind of like saying that he's better than you and you got a chance to stand next to him, because he's not better than you. He's just a man like you are. Anyway, they said blacks made up the overwhelming majority of Southern Republican voters. The South was Republican back in the day, so back in this time. So in the Civil War, that was the Republicans against the Democrats. No, the North was the Democrat, that was the Republican, and the South was the Democrat. Excuse me. So they made up the majority of Southern Republicans, that's consistent with the North. And the South was the Democrats. Right? So they said a total of 265 African American delegates were elected, more than 100 of whom had been born into slavery. So that means them brothers could read too. Although half of the elected black delegates served in South Carolina and Louisiana, where blacks had the longest history of political organization. So that's very important. Half of the elected black delegates served in South Carolina and Louisiana, where blacks had the longest history of political organization. The longest history of political organization. I'm going to say it one more time. The longest history of political organization. Okay? They said, but they were, in most states, they were under represented compared to their population. Okay? All right. So they say 16 African Americans served in the U.S. Congress during the Reconstruction. More than 600 more were elected to state legislators, and 100 more held local offices across the South. Now that's amazing that they didn't get lynched, because we're talking about the South that later on, Emmett Till, what was that, 1908 or something like that? What was that, 1950-something, 40-something, Emmett Till? They just walked in the house, 14-year-old boy from Chicago, walked into his house, got him out of his grandmom's house, took him, tortured him, shot him up, threw him in a river. We're talking about this, that South. So, just a little, you know, about politics and political things. So that involves participating in the organized systemic control over population. That's politics. That's how it works. It's inclusive of economics and the extraction and distribution and marketing of goods and services. That's a hell of a come up for an ex-slave. That's sitting at the table. Now, once you sit at the table, you got to be able to get that leg and that thigh. You know, you got to be able to pull something off that turkey, right? It's also a hell of an adjustment for those white folks who view black folks as beneath them, assets, property, servants, objects, powerless objects. If you are not in a position of power, you will remain in a position of subjugation to the power of others. Others who do not have your best interests in mind. Those who may seek to destroy you. The blacks in American history and life experience have, have validated, confirmed, proven this to be a fact. Getting a seat at the table is only half the fight. We must be effective, influential, firm, upright, and about our business. That simply means do right by the people, your people. Organization means systemically working together towards a common goal. I would think that the goal would not be to be the suppression, enslavement, murdering, and torturing, defiling, dehumanizing, degrading of black people or any people for all that matter. It was for sure black folks needed a come up. We needed that, right? I'm sure nobody would disagree with that. We needed some kind of come up in this country from chattel slavery, because that's about as low as you can get beneath somebody's foot. Without unity, there is no organization. Without organization, there is no infiltration into politics, okay? Everybody, y'all hear what I'm saying? Because we seem to be very, right now, our existence appears to be very chaotic. Without unity, there is no organization. Without organization, there is no infiltration into politics. Even if you infiltrate it and you disorganize, you're just there for your own purpose. Or no purpose, for somebody else's purpose. The common condition of slavery, oppression, subjugation to aggression and tyranny and murder was without question the glue that united the black people in America. So, you know, that was a serious condition. That was life and death. Caller, you have to call in, right? If you want to call in, 909-265-9215. I want to remind all callers, please call in on 909-265-9215. So, slavery, and I'm not saying slavery is a good thing, I'm not even implying that, but it helped black folks work together. They were forced to work together because of the tyranny of white folks in this country. Are we not living in enough chaos and tyranny today? Do we need it? Do we need to be put in chains to get for the light bulb to turn on, for us to say, oh, wait a minute. We need to be working together. We need to stop this nonsense now. Do we require a much harsher environment in order to perceive a need to unite? If slaves and freedmen can unite, why can't black folks of today? What about minorities? A serious question. Anybody listening, you can answer that question if you want to call in. Just answer that. Do we need a foot directly on our neck? Do we need to be beat down? Do we need our children to be sold? Do we need our women to be raped? Do we need our brothers and sisters to be raped, hung, tortured, in order to see a necessity for us to work together for us? Is that what we need? Anyway, sorry about that soapbox moment there. Anyway, so there were a whole lot of black leaders during the Reconstruction. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Oh, we have callers. Let me take caller number 1, 32, 63. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Carton? Yeah, can you hear
me? How you doing, brother? Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Brother Mark.
How you doing, Mark?
I was listening to you. I'm good. I was listening to you, on the concern of why can't blacks as a whole, and I wouldn't say every black, but most of the younger blacks, because when I say that, because when I was coming up, my mother and them was more grounded. They were more close-knitted, okay, back in the early 34, 35. You know, this is my mom was born. So they taught us their traditions, respect your elders. We couldn't talk when grown people talk, so we had to listen to keep our mouths quiet. And we were more conditioned for respect. Then I also was brought up under the Black Power movement, you know what I mean, the Black Panthers, Islam and all that. But what has happened today, we have gotten away from that. I'm not saying all of black people, but the youth of today, they're more stereotyped. They have a platform of disrespecting women. And I'll say this, that a lot of blacks, that's entertainers, they have a platform, and they're responsible for what comes out their mouth. When you got people with a platform, just like this radio talk show, the platform, if you breathe nonsense and you talk nonsense, nonsense is going to come out of this. So if you're talking positive and you're breathing positive, it's going to come out of that. And what's happening is these rappers, these entertainers, they're not basically living that life, and they call it entertainment, but they're speaking violence. They're speaking, women can go down on me, you know, niggers. And these young youth today, they can't separate entertainment from what's real. And they live in that life. From my experience, from what I've seen, is that most of these young boys want a gun in their pocket, a car, smoke blunts, and women on their side, you know, on their hip. And this is what I see. You know, you're responsible.
Okay.
What comes out your mouth, you're responsible for what comes out your mouth.
Okay, so let me ask you a question then. Okay, in terms of, okay, we got the, like you said, we're not going to be able to, everybody is not going to agree, right? So amongst mm-hmm. the people who agree, right, what can we do? All
right,
right? Them guys, oh, we ain't going to worry about them, all right? They don't see the vision. What can the people who are in agreement, who see the emergency, right, who, you know, understand
right.
what I'm saying, who care about the emergency, right, who, what can we do? How come,
we got
you know,
to
what,
doing,
you know,
what we got to do is what we're doing now. Speaking positive, you know, like, you know, talking to this young youth, letting them know that, you know, there's a way out besides shooting and violence and all this negativity. We got to keep doing it. We can't give up and say, well, this is the lost generation, because, you know, if we do that, we're actually giving up. You know, so when I see them, I talk with them, and we got to continue to do it. Like you're doing now, you're speaking on this, but what you got to do is continue. Only way we can reach them. The new preachers of the day is these rappers. And if, like I said, the platform that they got, if you're going to use it wisely or use it constructively, or you're going to use it in a way where you want to kill your younger generation. And this is what I see happening right now today.
Okay, so continue to speak.
Hold on for 1 minute. I got a call. We'll call right back in.
Continue to speak positively with the youth. Okay, while Mark is out, we're going to go to 0036. This is like Q.
Hello, how you doing?
Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yeah, you were asking about do we need a monster in order to bring this all together?
Right.
And I think it was when that one of the big things, I forget what it was, either Rodney King or something like that, the OJ thing or something like that. I remember seeing like on video back in L.A.,
uh-huh.
The Crips and Bloods was walking together, tying their bandanas together in protest. You know what I mean? With the rest of the, you know, black people and everything like that. And
right.
I forget what issue it was. I think it was, I want to say Rodney King.
I think that was Rodney King.
And
I think that was Rodney King.
That was the monster. But other than that, we got too many freedoms, man. We got too many freedoms and too many, I want to say, bad decisions.
Distractions?
Distractions.
Oh, bad
yeah,
decisions?
All of
that. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And we just not focused on, you know, good things that's good for our community. We ain't even focused on things that are good for us, or some of us, you know. We think it's good for us in the short term, but like I said, it ends up being bad decisions. And
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know.
That's it? Oh, okay. You know, well, I was going to add to that. I said a thought that somebody came said to me, a friend of mine, saying, well, we got guns and we already dying. They just dying for the wrong reason. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, I mean, so what's, you know, last poet said, better to die for a cause than to die just because. And I'm not advocating unadulterated violence, you know, just going against people violently. I'm saying in the spirit of the protecting yourself, your community, and things like that. And violence is not the only way you need to protect yourself, because you need to protect yourself with a standard, as I say frequently on my show. You first, then you detect yourself with it is a high standard bar for living in your community, in your own personal life. The higher that bar is, the more protected you are. That'll protect you better than a bulletproof vest. A person that has a sense of ethics and morals that are high. You understand? It's not based on my morals. It's not based on I'm tougher than you. I'm gonna make you cower and stuff like that, because all that comes from slavery. You have to cower in front of me because you're less than me. I'm greater than you. You cower in front of me. You move out of my way when you walk down the street. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All that's the old. You can find that. You can find all that behavior, in slavery here in this country. And you know, I don't know about abroad, you know, but I'm just talking about right here. And that. You know, they wanted the slaves to cower. You know what I'm saying? And we should not be making our brothers and sisters cower to us. You understand what I'm saying? We should be lifting them up. Because we can't do that. If we can't do that in our community, all that political power stuff, it's not going to happen. That organization, political power and stuff, that's not going to happen. Matter of fact, some of those people that you send there is going to look at you, look down at you like some of the white folks. Like, damn, I can't do nothing for them. They some messed up jokers. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, like, we need to raise the bar. We need to show ourselves worthy of, and not that we're not worthy. You know, I'm not saying that, but we need to be worthy. Not that some people aren't worthy. It's just that we all need to raise the bar. Even on brothers is toting them guns, hustling and things like that. They had a show about a guy named Bumpy Johnson. Is that the guy, Bumpy Johnson? Right. They talking. He's a hustler. He's a gangster. But he has a moral bar. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
He has a moral bar, and people in the community actually come to him for things, and he's helpful. You understand what I'm saying? And you know what? You know, come on, we gotta come about it. This thing, we are literally in hell. Some of us, and some of us maybe not. You know, maybe some people are in heaven, but you know, every day I go outside, looks like hell to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Some of us are hell adjacent.
Right, hell adjacent, and that's well. What happens if you live next? If the house next to you is on fire?
Spreading over.
That's right.
Spreading to you.
Burn your house down. That's right. So hell adjacent is not good. You still in hell. So you know, come on. I'm just using this example, and these are examples we should. You know, they say Malcolm said those who don't know the history are doomed to repeat it. Right. So are we going to repeat history? You know what I'm saying? Murdering each other instead of being murdered by other folks. Now we just murder each other. How do we get back into the swing of things, back into politics and things like that? How can we get somewhere where we can make a difference? You know what I'm saying? Whatever we need to do, we need to make some votes and get up out of here. What can we do? We need to go somewhere and say all blacks over in this, like they were talking about getting a state for blacks. I think Muhammad Ali said that. If all blacks need to just move into a particular state and say, okay, we're going to do it here, we're going to do our thing here, we're going to support each other here. Then what we need to do, a certain part of a state, what is it we need to do? How come our communities not the safest community for us to live in? And that's one of the reasons why we're not been able to get any power in government is because you need to be powerful also, you know, as powerful as the guy you send into government. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you know what I mean? You just can't vote him in and then he just does what he want to do. You have to have some power over the situation, some influence. Let me let 3263 back on.
Yeah,
hello.
Brother Carlton. Yeah, this is Marty, and I apologize. I had an important call coming in, but I was listening to you. You know, one of the things I've seen, right, and for the 6 years I've been on this earth, right, I actually observed, right, how the system is set up. They know what's going on. See, slavery is not just consist of physical slavery. It consists of a mental slavery as well. Now I say this here, it's almost organized. If you go back to in the 30s, when the Civil War was over, they created the Ku Klux Klan, right? And that was done. See, after some of them brothers had fought for the war, fought for their freedom, and fought for rights for blacks, okay? That did good for a while. They even had politicians back then. They even had black mayors back then. Then what happened? They created the Ku Klux Klan to let you know this is white supremacist. Now, the reason why I say this here, everything that's happening today, they know that these young brothers are killing each other. No, why is nothing to be done about it? They're not doing anything about it. Now, watch for example this here. If you kill a white woman, okay, a black or white man somewhere in the city, 2 days later, they're going to find that black person just like that. You know why? Because they actually have us in a data system, and there's so many cameras around now, they see what's going on. Now, if you notice, when a black man is killed, and they're being killed all over the city, 5 or 6 of them a day, we got a vague description of them, but we haven't caught them. That's bullshit. But when a white man or black woman is killed, they got them the next day. Now, that's part of the system that is set up towards to kill one another. Now, when you go back to the Black Panthers and the Ku Klux Klan, the Ku Klux Klan is still in existence. They more stronger today than they was back in the 30s after the Civil War was over. That's because they want to have us in a certain organization where they can monitor us, hurt us, and kill us, you know what I mean, systematically through our own behaviors, flushing the drugs in our neighborhood, putting every particular place that's where they sell all kinds of paraphernalia. Now, if you go up in rural white neighborhood, you don't see no stores selling a blunts and this and that. You know, they're not going to have that. But it's put in place just like the Jim Crow laws. The Jim Crow laws were put in place to keep us down. In 1969, I forgot the president said that we're going to destroy them chemically as well as physically. Physically, we're going to lock them up. Look at the population incarceration. It hasn't changed since the 60s. It's higher now, black incarceration. So when you look at the full picture, it's the government. The government knows, I don't care how many politics you put in, every face change. If you take a bee web, kill the bee, but the web is still there. Another bee gonna come in that same web. You got to get rid of the system. How do we get rid of the system? We got to stop depending on them to solve our problems. We got to solve our own problem. And one is that our youth are acting out because they've been bored into the system to believe everything black is bad. You know, I don't even listen to that crap no more. I had a black cat. You know what a brother told me? What you doing with that black cat, man? He bad luck. I said, who told you that? He said, man, well, that's what I heard. I said, that a white lie told you a black cat was bad luck. There's nothing bad about this cat. Black male, black man, black lie, black magic, anything. I got it on the black website. You know what I mean? Under the black market. See, we've been bored into that system to believe that we're never going to go nowhere. Then we're calling each other niggas every day. That's the name the white man gave us when we was in slavery. So when you really break it down and look at it, it's still a form of slavery. And how do you come out of that? This is what Malcolm X said. This is what Muhammad Ali said. He changed his name. He stopped thinking that way. He stopped thinking of the way of the white man. We're running around begging the white man to do things for us that we can do for ourselves. Muhammad Ali went to jail because he said, I'm not going to fight your war. Marcus Garvey the same way. They put him in jail, shipped him back overseas. Anytime we stand up and try to do something for our people, ourselves, we're terrorists, we're racists. Now watch this here. If you can go over in Afghanistan and Iraq and kill Abu Baghdadi, okay, in another country, but you can't stop the terrorists every day that's killing people here. We got terrorists right in this country, which is called KKK white supremacists. And they not haven't even classified them as a terrorist. But every time one of them do something, the first thing they say, and this goes back to our youth, the first thing they say, oh, it was a mental person that's acting out, you know, but they never call them a white terrorist. They want that to stay in place so that way they keep us informed that where we don't want to do nothing for ourselves, but we the bad guys, when actually they're the violent people. So we got to stop thinking that we can't progress. We can't depend on them to do for ourselves. And I appreciate this talk show because you can speak truth to power, right? Now, if I had to never decided to stop using drugs, if I had to never decided to stop robbing, I would be falling in the system because they told me when I was 17 years old, they certified me as an adult. You know what they told me when I left? Oh, you'll be back. You'll be back under the same number. And for a minute there, I did go back. And then I had to remember because I kept walking that same pattern. See, you can't come out here and do the same thing you were doing when you were 16 or 17 years old. You got to change that pace. And what I see what's happening with these young boys right now, they're looking at what you call a pattern that was laid out for their pop, their grandfather, his grandfather goes back. And it goes all the way back to the Jim Crow laws. You know what I'm saying? And I just spoke on it. The Jim Crow laws system was put in place to keep us down. As you remember, when they came out with the Tuskegee experiment, they shot syphilis in them brothers, man. Some they was giving them flu shots. The foods right now is this Popeye's chicken, man. You know what I'm saying? The people fighting all that over. It's cloned meat. And when you eat anything cloned, look, they got some websites to tell you the truth. And ain't nobody got to tell me. I can look and see. Dr. Sabi told us our diet shouldn't even be animals. Our diet should be based on, you look at a horse or a cow, they eat hay. And a lot of that, when they said chemical warfare, it would come after us physically and chemically, and it's happening right now today. Half these young boys, when they stand on the corner, what they selling? Chemicals. Who they selling it to? One another. And the one that's rapping.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
So, with all that going on, you keep saying they and things like that, right? So the they are the people in power. Is that correct?
No, I'm not saying they. I'm talking about us changing. We can't depend
on them
to change
you're saying
our
they
problem.
Do. You, no, no, you said they are the facilitators of these vile things that are happening in the black community.
Exactly. They're part
about.
Of it. Definitely.
Right. Okay. So they.
Those
so
are
would
programs
you like,
put in place.
Right. So would you like a seat at the table with them?
Would I like a seat at the table with them?
Yeah,
I have
as a black man, as a black,
them.
Not maybe not you personally, but would you like to have a seat at the table, even if it is you, maybe not you, maybe somebody representing
oh, definitely,
you, representing
definitely.
Black people?
Definitely.
Would you would?
I would like to have a seat
okay.
at the table to tell them that we know what they're doing. And if they... If they don't change it, we're going to have to change it. The more we keep killing each other every day, that's what they want us to do. They want our youth to kill each other. I just broke it down, showed you. If you kill a white boy in Philadelphia, they're going to find you in 2 days, the next day. But if a brother kill him, we haven't. If brothers out there that have been shot years ago and they haven't found him, and they know who they is, they don't want to stop it. So would I like to have a seat? It doesn't matter if I have a seat with them. The seat I want to have is with my own people. And I talk to them every single day. When I see the brothers on the street, I say, stop the killing. Stop killing each other. I post it on the website. I post it on my Facebook page. But why are y'all killing people that look like you? You know what I'm saying? Because they've been brainwashed to believe this nigga ain't shit. I don't like this nigga. You know what I mean? I had a white woman to tell me, I was going with this white girl. She said, I heard you got a black boyfriend, but I don't want him at my house. She said, well, what have he done to you? Oh, I just don't want him because, I heard they sell drugs. She said, he don't sell drugs. You never even met him before. Stereotypes. See, this is the mentality that's been forced upon us on other people and even ourselves. You know,
okay,
some of
so
us
let me ask you a question
say,
again. Let me ask you a question because everything you're talking about is happening under the auspice, under the umbrella of the United States government. You right? Am I right?
Right. That's right. You're right.
Okay. So do we need to participate in government to help ourselves also as a function of helping ourselves? Do we need to participate in government? Do we need a seat at the table? That's my
I
question.
Think yes, we do.
Good.
Yes. We do. You know why? Because if we follow their policies, we'll continue to let it keep happening. We need to sit. When Barack Obama came in office, he did more, and I'm not prejudiced. He did more for the homosexual than he did for the own race of people. They got a table to where as though they have rights where they could get married, when it should have been rights for blacks to have jobs, equal opportunities for fair housing and discrimination. But they signed a bill in law for homosexuals to get married. So, I mean, the brother tried, but I think it could have been more. He could have did more than that. But yes, we should have a seat at the table. You know what I'm saying? And I'm starting to see there's more black people are getting elected, but you just can't get elected and don't do nothing. I heard one woman say this here, and I posted. She was living, I think she lived down south somewhere in Alabama, and she said she was tired of you walking around with this stand your ground law, right? And she said because the stand your ground law ain't for black people, it's for white people. They can shoot you in certain states and say they felt threatened. Now, well, right. Brother was shot because another white man, they parked in a handicapped place, and the white man got out the car and said, you can't park here. You know what I mean? And the woman was pregnant. So the brother came out and said, whoa, you have a white face. And all he did was say, look, you talking to her like that? And he said, what? And the white black brother pushed him, and he fell down. When he got up, he pulled a gun out and shot him and killed him. And they said that was stand your ground law. See, those are the kind of institutions I said put in place to continue to use violence against us. So we should have a seat at the table. When I heard this woman say, that stand your ground laws are killing black people. It's not for the white person, because if a black person shot a white person, first thing they're going to want to say is that you you was wrong from shooting him. You could have waited. You know what I'm saying? And he shot this man twice. And the man, when he pulled the gun out, the brother backed up. And he pulled the trigger and shot him twice. So is this the law that are in place to continue to harm us, the drug law, the cyber fish law, you know, all these things? So, yes, we should have a seat at the table, because there's nothing changed, Carl. Nothing's going to change. We've been fighting since 1969 the same thing, fair opportunities, fair housing, segregation schools, better schools, the same thing. So,
Hold up. So, in order to get a seat at the table, you have to join into the political process. The political process is so that you elect someone to office to represent you. So, do we need to vote?
We definitely need to vote. We need to put some of our people in there. And I'm not talking about putting anybody in there. We need to study their record. We need to see where these ballots are coming from. You know, like, some people might not like Louis Farrakhan, but guess what? I listen to Louis Farrakhan, okay? Now, he say a lot of things that is true about white people. You know, when they speak of violence, we have never been more violent than they've been violent to us. So how America has made so many promises and broke them, so why would you want to continue to listen to the same government that been breaking their promises? So to form a government like the Black Panthers, they were the first ones that came out with the lunch program. I think we need to form our own government in the cities. Start to have a word of conversation like this right here, what you're doing now, and getting people out there, voting people in our communities that's going to benefit us. Because who's dying? It's our young people are dying every day now.
And you know, and looking at the homicide rate in the community, the Black community, and the minority communities have been impacted upon by chemicals or substances. You got to take some responsibility for that ourselves also, because it's not a white guy making you pull that trigger.
But it's just like this here: if you put a bunch of rats in a hole, and it's like the projects. You put a bunch of rats in a hole, they're going to end up fighting and killing one another, okay? The project was built not as a home, not as a project, but a project means an experiment, a study. That's all it was. It was never meant for us to progress. We've been put in so many different experiments, but still came out. So is that you do got to blame some of us, but it's actually, you got to look at the root and where it comes from. You know, most of these brothers out there slinging drugs, they'll tell you, well, man, I'm trying to feed my family. But who are you feeding it off of? You're feeding it off of the sweat of your own people and the murder and the killing of your own people. I don't agree. That's like I said, I don't agree with a lot of these rappers. They got platforms. They are the new preachers today. They are the new minister. They're the new, what you call, government. Because if Meek Mills come out there and talk about rapping about a pair of sneakers, they gonna run and get them. A certain pair of pants, they gonna run and get them. If you talk about a gun, they gonna want it. You know, so you got to be responsible for your words, because whatever you put out there, you are responsible for what you put out there. So yes, we do. We all have a responsibility in what we put out there, what we put in our body. I remember, Carlton, when I was strung out, you took me to the hospital, and it was my responsibility to get together, but I couldn't do it because I got caught up. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the power. But thank God there's some people like you and me now that care enough to help someone where you can't help yourself. So this is what we got to keep doing, because I've never seen the homicide rate as high as it is today. These young boys, you know, like the guns. Where do you think they're getting the guns from? They're not just going to buy these guns. These guns are actually put in the neighborhoods. They make it so easy for them to get it and kill each other. So what do we do from this point? We got to have more town hall meetings. We got to have more call-ins like this. And we got to have people footwork out there on the streets. Now,
Okay.
When Obama came
and
in
all
office,
of that being said, and all of that being said, you know, talking to these young boys and things like that. As I said, that they're not the only gangsters that ever existed. There's even some gangsters have certain types. They have a certain moral, ethical bar.
Right.
And I'm trying to say, I use the dude Bumpsy Johnson as an example because they said he was a gangster, but he had a limit to the things he would do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, like, we need to raise the bar. We need to live better, right? And we have
Definitely.
To represent ourselves, right, in a ethical, moral manner, right, if we want others to represent us. You understand? They want them to represent
Bro,
you.
Hold on for 1 minute.
You need to represent yourself better. Q, you still there? Q.
I am.
Do we need to vote? Do we need to take part in the political system or not? We need a place at the table, or what do you think,
Absolutely.
Brother? Do our vote count, or to make our vote count, do we need to be there? Because if we're not participating in it, then you're going to be subjected to it, you know, even more.
We definitely need to vote. We definitely need to be at the table. You know why? First of all, America, we built America. The America became the greatest country in the world because they got free labor for 400 some years off the backs of slaves. Okay, we have more rights to this country than anyone. You look at the Jews came over here, and they gave them money, and then they went over there and took over the Palestinian land. They gave them a state. Okay, which we should have been the first people that had our own state here. A couple of states because we built it. So. The question is, should we be at the table? We should have been at the table. And some people may not know this, but after the Civil War, you got to read the history. We were at the table. And when we were at the table. And
you know what happened after that? Do you know what happened after the Civil War, though? So you kind of hit on it. What happened after the Civil War was the troops left the Carolinas, and what happened was the Southern whites started this thing, which you call the Ku Klux Klan, that targeted Republican leaders and blacks who challenged their white employers, and at least 35 black officials were murdered by the Klan and other white supremacist organizations during the Reconstruction era. So that's what happened. So here's my question, though. So because what happened is that's suppression, right? Well, that's murder and suppression. But that's a lot of effort to suppress the black vote. So why haven't and that's not even including black and white women, Chinese and Latinos. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot. So they said it, like, you know, I got a friend to say, I don't vote. You vote don't mean nothing, right? So all this voter suppression makes me think we need not only to vote, but be at the table when decisions are made, as we've been talking about, right?
Hey, Carl, get out.
Wait a minute.
Get out on the phone. I'm going to cut him in. I'm going to bring him
so
out
Don't be fooled by the party affiliation. Speak, actions speak louder than words. Doesn't matter Democrat or Republican. Action speaks louder than words. Kennard on the phone now? So how can a country be united if they have two political parties, Democrat and Republican, taking sides? Maybe it's just two predators fighting over a carcass, our carcass. So, you know, because I used to think that, I'm not going to lie, you know, that vote didn't count because everything is already scripted. What's going to happen is going to happen. I don't care how many black people's up there. But for whatever reason, they're going to be too afraid to do something or too powerless to do anything.
Yeah, you want a radio. You want a black talk radio.
Oh,
so if you want to, we're talking about these young youth, right? All the killing out here. If you want to say something about it, you know, because I know you ain't got a lot of time, but you want a radio now.
Let me talk to him. Kennard, the show tonight is about, should we vote? It's about voter suppression. Does our vote count, right? Or should we not worry about voting because our vote is being suppressed? You know, we're going to lose that battle anyway. Should we vote to make changes in this country or not? How you feel about that?
Right.
I feel bad about it because I think they ain't taught the right thing when they was coming up to the young bucks was coming up now. They respect elders and everything else. You know what I mean? But I think it's a terrible thing, man. Right now, my partner, right? He might want to see something.
Okay, put him on.
On the ready. I'm gonna put him in. Hold on.
Put him on.
Now, see, this brother, now he's been down 40 years. So that goes to show you that the same stuff was going on now. Look how far I go back. My brother get locked up in self-defense, where you might take an average white boy, kill somebody. He might not even be down that long. So I agree with you on this. The vote, see, if we don't vote, they still going to have the same institution set up. The Ku Klux Klan was set up to keep us in check. That's white supremacists. Why you think they still exist today and they're more stronger? And this was after the Civil War. The Black Panthers was wiped out and they called them terrorists. So why is they still in power? And that speaks for itself. Because
we're
in a country that's...
They're what? You're saying they're in power because of what?
They still in power because they are the government, the same government that created, that wrote the Constitution. If you look,
so do you feel like your vote?
They say,
do you feel like your vote is being ignored, suppressed, or anything like that, or manipulated? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I feel like
know
it's
that?
I feel like. Because when they get in office, they don't do the same. They don't do what they say they're gonna do for us. Cause we still fighting for the same thing.
Right.
If you want brother, other brother, Irv.
No, Irvin the show. All
right. Well.
Okay.
Well,
so,
like what you were saying, Nard. You know that's important.
Yeah. I think what it is, they don't have older men be beside them.
This is a call
you know
from
I mean?
Pennsylvania State
old,
Correctional
old
Institution.
And,
brought
to
you.
This call is
like,
subject to recording
like
and monitoring.
Like a guy like me, so I be talking to the young boys up here. You know what I mean? And I tell them, look, like if you do something wrong, you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting the people that love you. You know what I mean? Your family members. And so a lot
but,
of them.
But what can we do today to change this situation that our youth are in today? I mean, the car
in the political arena.
You don't think. You don't
in the
think
political
our
arena, we're asking, what can we do politically? What can we do? Can we do anything in the political arena? Through our votes and representation in the political state. Can anything happen?
I think
happen
we got to
like
start
that?
Our own government. That's what I think we have to do, start our
not
own
gonna
government.
Not going to happen. That's why they had the Civil War. Not going to happen. That is the reason why they had the Civil War. Not going to happen.
This is, I'm going to get this young boy that I'll be talking to him too. Hold on a minute. Hey.
But what do we do, Carlton? So we just step back and don't do anything?
No, I didn't say. I'm asking a question. Voter suppression. Wait a minute.
I think
because we're talking about voter suppression tonight. And if your vote,
correctional institution, Rockview.
If your
this
vote
call is subject to
is
recording
being,
and monitoring.
If your vote is being suppressed or not, and do you think that it's worth voting? You know, you have the right to vote, right?
I think it's worth voting because this girl named Mo Vita, I knew her for years. I voted for her. I got elected. She's in office now.
Her son got killed.
So I think it's worth voting.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing, brother? This is Carlton State on Provocative Thought, the host of Provocative Thought. Tonight we're talking about voter suppression. And we previously talked about how, you know, after Reconstruction, you're familiar with Reconstruction here in the United States, after the slaves were freed, they instated these laws so that a black male could vote, and how they were able to send representatives who were black to all the Senate and in different parts of government. And, I have a friend that says he doesn't vote anymore because it's all scripted. And no matter who you vote for, black, white, anything, this thing is scripted. The people are in control of government, blah, 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 blah. What's the use in voting? It doesn't count. Your vote doesn't count no matter where you do it, whether you vote or not. How do you feel about that?
Personally, I feel like that because we were once disenfranchised as far as, you know, the right to vote as a people, that you have people who are martyrs, you know, that were martyrs in the past that have, you know, sacrificed for us today so that we can be able to vote. I feel like that we would be doing them, you know, the biggest, like, injustice by not taking advantage of, you know, something that's in that they have paved the way for us to have the privilege of being able to, you know, be involved in as a people, as a culture. And it sucks because there is that idea of there being this being strategic as in regards to who we put in office, you know, however, there's also that's skeptic part of me of saying, like, you know what, just in case, like, I'm still going to take advantage of it because who knows, and it's set an example for the people after us. So I feel that's my opinion on it. I agree. Like, I feel like people should vote. Yeah.
Vote. Okay. You know, are you aware that the vote, that there have been things put in place to suppress the vote as we speak, since the Reconstruction, they've been suppressing the votes, but they're still suppressing votes up to this day. Are you aware of that?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. It always has been, and they're always going to find ways of trying to suppress our voices. But I think that there's other, like we were speaking about, like protesting, like the topic of, like, Jay-Z came up in regards to him being involved with the NFL. He spoke about how there's different forms of protest, how you have the ones that are outside with the picket fences and the ones that are inside, you know, trying to, you know, get those people to change those laws, to make modifications to those laws. Same way with voting. I feel like, you know, even if, like at one point in time, there was a time where we didn't vote, but still our voices were heard. Because we made sure that we find ways to overcome those obstacles, and every time they try to put that muzzle on us, you know, we roared even louder. So, me personally, even if we can't, you know, even if it doesn't count, we still have a way of trying to, you know, getting our voice heard as a people, as long as we continue to you know, see the walls and overcome them.
Right, and you know, and to add to that, in terms of voting, when Mississippi rejoined the Union in 1870, former slaves made up more than half of the state population. During the next decade, they sent two black U.S. senators to Washington and elected a number of black officials, including a lieutenant governor. Whites were still elected a large majority to the state and local offices. So that right there says the black vote counted, and at least it counted in getting all black people elected. And like you said, it's not enough just to be there at the table. You got to be able to get a thigh or a leg or some piece of chicken breast, turkey breast, take back to you folks. You know what I'm saying? We all got to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right, that's right.
You know, so it's just. What made me have the show today was my friend and co-host, Mr. Kenneth Jones, had a show on voter suppression. And, you know, that these guys are gerrymandering the districts. so that the vote could swing Republican and moving the polls, you know, to places where it makes it difficult for certain people, minority people, black people, in some communities to vote. It makes it more difficult. You know how it is. So some people might, I ain't standing in that line to vote. You know what I'm saying? They might, you know what I'm saying? They get discouraged to vote. It's making it difficult for them. And, you know, that's back, you know, they had the literacy test where you had to read the Constitution. And even though it's for everybody, they gave the black person, you had to read it and interpret it. So they gave the black person a hard, difficult part, gave the white person a part he could understand and things like that. You know, but it was like, you know, come on, all this here, and the vote didn't count. Why all of this effort to prevent people from voting? So there must be something in voting that we haven't reached that pedestal yet, because the ultimate change in voting is not to get a black president. Can we agree on that? That's not the ultimate thing we want to do in terms of exercising our right to vote. Do we agree on that? Anybody listening?
Yeah, well, I agree, but how did
that's
we
not
get,
the ultimate
well, did,
goal.
Obama, well, how did Obama get in then?
No, it's okay. No, I'm not saying anything wrong with Obama being a black president. I'm saying that's not our ultimate goal, just to have to say we had a black president, is it?
No, we need people in there that's going to do something for our people as a people. You know, now and I voted for Movita Johnson, right? Now some people say, oh, she's not going to get elected, but I knocked on doors, and then she's in office now. She wrote a letter for my brother. And this happened about a couple months ago. She wrote a letter for my brother asking for his release. And she was the only one so far that I approached about my brother. And she wrote a letter to the prison asking that they think this brother should be released.
Okay.
So there
that's
are
good.
Some
that's
blacks that are doing something.
That's somebody that's acting. That's good. And I'm not saying that there aren't any people doing anything out there. I'm not. I don't want to say that either. But here's the thing.
But
new voter restrictions
down,
in America. Hold up, brother. Hold up. New voting restrictions in America. Since 2010, 25 states have enacted new voting restrictions, including strict photo ID requirements, early voting cutbacks, and registration restrictions. That's 2010.
Overall, 25 states
have put in place new restrictions. 15 states have more restrictive voter ID laws in place, including 6 states with strict photo ID requirement. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
12
see,
states
I've seen
have
that.
Laws
I've seen
for making
that.
It harder for citizens to register and stay registered. 10 made it more difficult to vote early or absentee vote. 3 took actions to make it harder to restore voting rights for people with past criminal convictions. Y'all hear that? Y'all brothers
yeah,
upstate,
and
y'all
I
hear
was
that,
one.
Right?
Listen, I was one
right.
of them, right? But I vote every year now.
I'm just saying these are the things that's been in place now. They're making it difficult. You understand what I'm saying? Fourteen states have voting restrictions in place.
They got
for the
1 minute
time.
Left, right?
No.
They got
1 minute left. Y'all want to say something on Kennard?
Yeah, tell Kennard get on because he can call back if you want to.
Back right now.
All right. The caller has hung
up. Okay, they say 14 states. They said they had first time in a presidential election. 14 states had new voting restrictions in place for the first time in a presidential election in 2016.
Now, when was this?
Those 14
what
states
this?
Were 2016.
We 2016. I heard
2016.
About that.
Yeah,
right.
Those
right.
states
and,
were
and
Alabama,
to, they...
Arizona. Hold up. Alabama, Arizona, Indiana, Kansas, Mississippi, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Ohio, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin. So that's all up and down the East Coast.
Right.
Right.
And basically, a lot of them is the redneck states, right? They've been doing that.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know about redneck states. I don't know about all that. I don't know what a redneck state is.
Yeah, most of them are. You know what I'm saying? They most of them from down south, but they tried it. They tried it here.
No, I said
they
no.
Tried
I said
it
all
here.
Up and down the East Coast. New Hampshire.
Hold on.
Rhode Island. Wisconsin. Nebraska. Kansas. Arizona, that's west. So, and, you know, it's just, but the point here is that, number one, voter suppression is a practice that doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and that seems like something that should be eradicated through government. But apparently the government is not doing anything about it. Government has made it possible for
back on
to suppress votes, which is not right.
You back on, Carl. You back on the radio.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
that was one.
What we have here is that what I'm trying to say is that voter suppression is just like racism is alive and kicking. But racism you can't do anything about. Racism you can't legislate.
Right.
But voter of suppression you can legislate. So why isn't this thing happening? And we have minority people in government. So how is the Republican Party able to just steamroll this voter of suppression tactic, you know, throughout the country? How is that able to go down?
You know, a lot of that had to do with white supremacists. A lot of them in office, just like the 2017 election. They gave a vote to Trump, which won the popular vote, but it was the electoral vote, and that's one of the voters, like you're saying, the voters depression, how they can manipulate those machines, and that's one of the things that they're studying now, because they don't want the same thing to repeat. That's part of the process. But do we give up? No, we keep trying. We keep trying. We keep coming up with new things so that
voting.
We can be effectively to deal with
do
that.
We keep voting?
You can't stop voting.
We keep voting?
You got to.
Can't
because
stop?
If you don't vote, if you don't vote, you'll let them put whoever they want to put in office. Like I just said, you know, I helped get Movida elected. I helped get Obama elected. I know a lot of brothers that's in office right now only because of our vote. So we got to vote. You know what I'm saying? If we don't vote, then that means we elect them to put whoever they want to put in office. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep voting because if I stand on the side and don't vote, that means that any policy they laid out, that means that I have nothing to do with it. That goes along with prescriptions. That goes along with our, Social Security. They want to cut Social Security down to now to 65. They want to make it 69. You know what I'm saying? So we have to – there is some people in office that's changing policies. That's what it's about, changing the policies.
Okay,
to benefit us.
Check this out. This is in 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court basically lifted Federal Voting Rights Act oversight from states that were particularly notorious for racial discrimination in elections. How do you do that? How do I lift the Federal Voting Rights Oversight Act oversight from states, right, who are notorious for racial discrimination in elections, including Arizona, Georgia, Indiana, Texas? The pace of poll closures went into hyperdrive. The pace of poll closures. Where places you could vote, where they closed them quickly.
State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
They no longer had to ask the Department of Justice to approve a change in where people could vote or to prove the intent wasn't discriminatory. They could just move. Hey, if you voted at James Road, they could move it if they wanted to. Move that thing up, move it up far out as from the neighborhood as possible.
So,
you know,
in other words, they're trying to make it harder for us to vote.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But the U.S. Supreme Court basically
lifted
the Federal Voting Rights Act oversight. So why would they do? Why would the Supreme Court do that? And you just said they stacking the debt with the Republicans, right? So you understand, right? So they stacking the debt. So now they get what they want. Lift that oversight, so we won't have to prove we're doing anything, and we're gonna just make it difficult for these people to vote. And that's what it amounts to. And this, type of thing is going on. That's from the New Republic, and by the way, that information.
Yeah, because that election, that last election, Trump wasn't supposed to win that election. That was definitely manipulated. That's why they try to say Russia has something to do with it. But the United States government has something to do, the Republicans was right along with it. So
well,
what do we do?
He won the electoral vote. Trump won the electoral vote. I don't even know how he won that. But
that's what they say he won electoral vote. They could be manipulated, you know?
Right.
So nothing but a machine.
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Rockview.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
But you know what? I've been listening to Donald Trump and Giuliani and all that on TV, on CNN, and he's going down. What's the guy? Giuliani. And he's going to take Trump with him. That's my opinion. You know, because I'm watching this every day.
You can do wrong for so long, and this is just my belief. God got the ultimate authority. The thing that we're doing today, we couldn't have never did years ago. See, you know, when you look at it in terms of God, right, you know, you can't keep on destroying hurting people for generation after generation. This generation now ain't sitting back saying, give me this. They taking what they want. That's why a lot of these young boys out here, you know, they robbing not just black people, they doing to white people too. But at the same time, they need our vote too. They definitely need our vote.
Yeah, but they're not taking anything. All those guys are taking what they're robbing is crumbs off the table. They're not doing anything. The crime in our community is petty crime.
Right, right. But I'm just saying they shouldn't be doing that. But what I'm saying is that they're not sitting back taking it on their chin now. You know, every generation is changing now, but we're killing each other. This is what I'm concerned about, where I would like to be at the table where my vote is counting. Like I was saying, when that lady wrote that letter from you, Movida, right? Movida is a state. She's a state representative, and I helped put her in office. And she's trying to do things to help the young brothers out. That's what we need, a seat at the table, so we can change.
What is her name? Movida what? What's her last name?
Movida Johnson.
Who?
She wrote a
letter. Thumbs up to you. Kudos.
Yeah. Her son got killed, right? Kennard drew a picture of her son, but she's been active in the community of the killing, of the black youth killing, and she was basically saying, where are they getting these guns from? Why are these blacks allowed to kill each other? If you can go overseas and you can destroy ISIS, you can't stop these guys from killing one another right here in this country. Come on.
Okay. We got two more minutes. I'm gonna have to close the show down. But this is what I'm gonna say about the voting and getting into politics and things like that, and the nature of politics. Corruption supported by law equals anarchy, dictatorship, tyranny. Mm-hmm. It is literally an assault on the people of the United States of America. It is an assault on the vote, political power of the minorities of today. Tomorrow, it may be the vote of the poor whites. Think about it. If you are poor white and white, yes, and you have to wonder why you are so privileged and poor, so poor and privileged.
Exactly.
That is a hell of a coincidence. Second,
when
it
you
is
know
not
Trump,
enough to vote,
you know
but
Trump.
To know. Hold up, Mark, I'm closing the show.
Go ahead.
Second, it is not enough to vote, but to know who you are voting for. If the candidate is not willing to put his life on the line for what is right, fair, or just, he most definitely must not become a candidate or an elected official. Medgar Evers put his life on the line and was killed for it. And that's it for the night, fellas. I want to thank everybody for calling in, anybody that was listening. And I want you guys to stay tuned for next week. Next week's show. Again, Mark, thanks for hanging in there and coming back. Q, thanks for calling in. You still there, Q?
All right.
All right. Kennard.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Young brother that got on. I want to thank y'all for calling in because I know you. Your time is important. And until next week.
Right. They gonna call. You gonna call in next week. The next show you have.
Next week, my brothers.
Hey, nah, call me back.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis